Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Austin Brower Show today. Again, coming to you solo with some great information, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I think Ted's going to be back in the next couple days, so I know I've gotten comments. Some people say that I'm a little too intense sometimes. Sometimes they need some humor from Ted to balance me out. And so, again, appreciate your feedback on that. Thank you. And, yeah, he'll be here in the next couple days. So, again, thank you again for the support, though. Bringing you guys this information every single day is what we're trying to do and bring the truth to light, as we do on this show pretty much every single day. So, again, thank you for the support of Health Masters. Thank you for making us your number one stop and shop for all your supplement needs. And thank you again for staying stocked up and staying healthy, because a healthy population is usually an educated population. An educated, smart population is a difficult population to control. And, again, thank you for that support. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. The vitamin C, last day on sale. I covered that yesterday. The excellent C formula on sales product of the week. You voted it won. So be sure to take advantage of that for the last day right now, over 10% off. And also, to the purple sticks, I think we're down to two or three cases left in the office, what I heard from this morning. So essentially, there's not really a whole lot of inventory left. These will probably be going, I told you guys, to the office today or tomorrow. So I'm not going to have a fancy display back for you guys here to show them off. But we will have the new batch en route right now, getting processed. They had to fix some of the there's a couple errors on the box as far as with some of the writing. That's getting fixed. That's already fixed. It's in the process of getting updated. So, again, be sure to stay in touch with that. And if you guys want to stock up on any or grab a couple of them to hold you over for the next couple of weeks until it is essentially we get the new batch in stock, be sure to check those out at healthmasters.com and take advantage of those right now. And also, too, in other news, this is an interesting story that I wanted to bring up here this morning. I'm going to give you guys a heads up on this. This isn't health related. This, again, is vehicle and safety related, because I've gotten multiple people who have brought up issues that have been going on with Fords as far as with theft. And I've been having a lot of people in the automotive community contact me about this. And I wanted to address this to kind of give you guys a heads up, as it's starting to become kind of mainstream where they're starting to cover it. And they're talking about thieves are using electronic devices to break into locked vehicles and steal them in most cases, or just rummage through them and take all the stuff. And what they're doing is there's these kits you can buy, and they're literally online. They're legal to technically purchase, and they're RFID amplifiers. And essentially what these thieves are doing, and this is most prominent with Fords, because apparently they have the strongest keys and they're the easiest ones to get into, and Ford trucks have been targeted for this primarily because the cost and value of these vehicles, they're very valuable as far as at chop shops, and on top of that, too, getting valuables out of them. There's videos that have surfaced now from security cameras where people actually walk up to like the front door with these RFID amplifiers, and they pick up the signal from the key fob, and then they send it to another individual who's basically standing out at the truck out in the driveway, and it replicates the signal immediately, and boom, they hit it, the door opens up. The truck actually thinks essentially the key's there, and if they have the right equipment, they can actually go in and push the start button, and the truck will fire up immediately, and they can drive off with it. And as long as they don't turn the truck off, even though the key fob's not detected, they can get to where they're going, whether or not it's basically a another place to steal the vehicle or chop the vehicle or ship the vehicle, whatever it may be. These trucks are disappearing. This is becoming very, very prominent. And so they're talking about a good thing to do is either A, don't leave your keys at the front door by your vehicle, because a lot of times people will do that by their garage door, by their front door. They hang their keys up by the door. And they said that's the worst place to hang your keys for these emitters, because they essentially pick the signal right up. Or B, put them in some type of RFID blocking case, or keep the keys, you know, back by your bedroom or something on the other side of the house. Just a few things I want to give a heads up on that, because in the automotive community, this is becoming insanely prevalent, and it's not becoming it's not getting better. And the problem with this is what it in turn – everybody loses on the back end, because not only are people trying to deal with vehicles being replaced and values, on top of that, it's massively increasing the insurance rates, because they're showing that, you know, these F-250s or F-150s, if you buy one, the likelihood of them getting stolen in certain areas is going through the roof, which increases your rate. And so, I mean, there's people that I know are paying $300-$400 a month for insurance now without any bad driving records. That's how crazy it's starting to get. So, again, just something to be aware of that as well. And also, too, in other health news, this is something that's interesting. This is why I've always continually been encouraging people to make sure you're maintaining healthy blood viscosity and also healthy heart levels. The COQ10 and the vitamin E are two very, very important supplements in maintaining healthy cardiovascular health. There's an article that just came out here, actually it was yesterday, and it says that heart failure mortality rates surged to the highest levels in over 20 years. They said that more people are dying of heart failure and completely reversing the longstanding declines in mortality rates. They said the unprecedented number of people dying from heart failure completely reverses the longstanding declines. They said a cohort study published in April 24, just a couple days ago, in JAMA Cardiology using U.S. death certificates showed death related to heart failure decreased from the late 90s and 99 into the mid-teens, all the way into like 2015. They said they plateaued essentially, and then they started to slightly rise in the late teens, and then they said there was a massive accelerated increase in cardiovascular deaths and cardiovascular mortality rates from 2020 up now. It's up trending significantly. Imagine that. I said what the paper shows is that more patients are died from heart failure than they ever did more than 20 years ago. The concerning thing is that we made good strides in improving the trend for a decade, and now it's completely reversed. They said the researchers found the disparities between men and women among certain racial groups and ethnic groups. The greatest increase in the heart failure-related deaths occurred among individuals younger than 45. And I want to stay here that there was a reversal in the death rate of 906% among people under 45 from 99 to 2021. However, they said now these numbers have completely inverted, and essentially the cardiovascular deaths in mid-age individuals is skyrocketing. Now, there's a couple factors in this. You guys already know where I'm about to go with this here. However, one of the main things that you've seen now is the combination, I personally think, of the Western lifestyle diet, and I've talked to you guys about this a lot, with the soybean oil, the canola oil, the high fructose corn syrup, the hydrogenated oils. Those are detrimental to the cardiovascular system. I mean, they're horrific. On top of that now, you've had, of course, what we saw now in 2020, and the numbers have gone up, is the cardiovascular deaths related to the COVID shot. There's no longer any type of, you know, speculation with that anymore. There's none, zero. Anybody that has done any research now, they've shown direct links that increased blood clots, increased cardiovascular deaths, increased myocarditis, pericarditis, do occur in individuals that get shots. Now, is it going to happen to somebody just because they get it? Absolutely not. It's not a guarantee. However, what we have seen is that individuals that maintain healthy cardiovascular health, like with the spike protein survival kit, with the vitamin E, the CoQ10, and other nutrients, have a much lower chance of having these issues. So again, something I wanted to address here and also bring to light, because there's another article that came out now discussing issues with rats. And as far as what the article here, it says Western diets may cause long-lasting mental damage to growing brains. And they said a new study in rats has found that high sugar, high fat diets such as junk food or Western diet is causing long-lasting memory issues. They said these foods are thought to disrupt the functioning of the hippocampus, an area critical for memory in humans as well as rats. They said the most concerning findings was that this damage to memory remained even after the rats were switched to a healthy diet. In the new study, the study of rats by researchers in California finds that brains at this stage are especially susceptible to damage caused by high-fat, high-sugar junk food. I said the author of the study investigates the effects of food on the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, which is important to memory, including learning, arousal, and attention. They said low levels of acetylcholine have been linked to development of Alzheimer's disease in humans. For the study, juvenile and adolescent rats were provided an assortment of food. They included high-fat, high-sugar chow, potato chips, peanut butter cups, and high-fructose corn syrup, any one of which they can consume as desired. They also had basically open access to water. Now, then they had only standard chow and water was available for the control groups of rats. So they had two different groups here. They had one that essentially was given just the same crap that most kids are eating every single day, and then a standard basic healthy chow with water for the control group. They said upon achieving young adulthood, the rats were administered memory tests, introduced in novel locations. Each rat encountered new objects. After some days, the rats were reintroduced to these areas with one new object having been added. Although the control group exhibited curiosity regarding that object, the experimental group appeared not to notice anything had changed. So the group that was eating the really high-fat chow and the potato chips and the peanut butter cups and the high-fructose corn syrup, when they were exposed to new environmental changes in these different studies, they didn't even notice anything was different. It was just blank. And it goes on to say here, what's crazy, they said even after being switched to a healthy diet in adulthood, the experimental group's memory deficiencies persisted, suggesting potentially long-lasting damage to the brain. The researchers observed compromised acetylcholine signals in the experimental group's hippocampus. the region closely associated with memory and learning in both rats and humans. And so what's crazy about this is, and this is why I really, really bring this up all the time, and listen to me for a second here, guys, with young kids, the food that they're eating right now, this junk food chow, this, you know, Reese cups with Fruit Loops, and the list goes on. You know what the foods are. This food isn't just affecting them right now. It's going to have long-term detrimental effects, and we're starting to watch that now in the school systems and the testing and the mental capacity and the environmental aspects with these young children, how they're functioning in society, what they're doing, their unbelievably bizarre behavior in some cases, their inability to stay focused or have any aspects of realistic memory. These are problems that are not going away, and the problem is the longer these children eat this food, the longer it's persistent in their bodies, it gets worse. And so what happens is the body has the ability at a younger age to heal itself very well. It also has the ability to detoxify itself very, very well. The problem with this is, in most cases, these kids grow accustomed to eating this junk food at a very young age, and it becomes a consistent, regular diet, and it never changes because the parents don't want to deal with the blowback of trying to cut their food off, or cut those negative foods off, I should say, from young children. I remember years ago, there was a kid that I had talked to friend of mine who had a kid, and they were basically talking to me about the aspect of their kids eating Doritos a lot. And once he started eating Doritos, which, if you guys know, are laced with MSG, Doritos are some of the absolute worst potato chips in the entire world you can put in your body. I will not touch them. I very rarely even touch chips in general. If they are, they better be certified organic, and I know exactly what's in them, at least to the best of my ability, but in most cases I don't touch them. And so what happened was, after he started eating these Doritos, he didn't want to eat anything else anymore. All he wanted was Doritos all the time. He didn't want to eat dinner. He didn't want to eat breakfast. All he wanted was Doritos, Doritos, Doritos. The problem with it was the MSG actually starts rewriting the neurotransmitter pathways in the brain because it's an excitotoxin. It overstimulates the brain. That's what MSG does, monosodium glutamate. It is known to be an addictive compound. It is known to be an excitotoxin. The reason why they put it in the food supply is because it gets people addicted to it. And it's even worse in young children, because when young children get addicted to this food, it becomes almost impossible to get them off of it without having meltdowns, so to speak, because their brains are starting to get hardwired to essentially get exposed to this food, and they want it and crave it every single day, to the point they will choose Doritos over eating even normal healthy food in order to maintain healthy immune system and healthy functioning. So again, this is a really, really interesting study, and just another bold reason why you've got to maintain your kids' health and make sure they're getting the absolute best nutrition they can at a younger age. If they want to go off to college when they're 18, 19 years old and they want to eat this crap, that's on them. But at least at that point, they have developed their bodies to the best extent and they've eaten clean. You know, I know a lot of kids, including myself, when we grew up eating fairly clean, it wasn't like we didn't ever have ice cream or something, you know, junk food occasionally, but it wasn't the norm. It wasn't something you ate all the time. And what happened was, even as I got older, my diet really never changed. I ate some junk in college here and there and stuff like that, but it wasn't really ever to a point where that was what I was eating all the time. And plus, I was always really into fitness. And anybody knows, fitness and Doritos and cheeseburgers and Coca-Cola, they don't intermingle. You can't sit there and expect to be in good shape and build muscle tissue and stay healthy and have strong cardio and eat donuts and Twinkies and cheeseburgers all day. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. And so, again, another reason why to be really, really cautious about what your children are eating and make sure you're maintaining their overall health as much as possible. Also, too, another story. This is a really sad story, but I'm bringing this up. Kind of address two things here. This happened a few days ago. And it was up in Bradford County. It was up towards basically northern Florida a little bit more. And this is something that's – it is Alachua County, excuse me. And so this is towards Gainesville area. And there were some kids. There were 14, 15, 16, and 17. I think it was all broken down. Or maybe it was 14, 16, 17. It was four kids, though, all males. And a lot of them were juvenile delinquents. They had two of them had ankle bracelets on. They had already been arrested. And I don't know if the 14-year-old had been, but again, he was hanging out with a bad crowd. And these kids decided they were going to go steal an SUV. They're going to go steal an SUV out in Gainesville, and they were going to run off. And so local law enforcement, when they basically saw the vehicle and the tag was hot, they went to pull them over. The kids went to pull over, and the driver of the car, I think, was 17. And he decided he was going to run from the cops. And the city police couldn't keep up with them. They got the SUV at one point up to, I think they said, almost 120 miles an hour on public highways, public roads. And these kids, you got to remember, these are young kids that are really being really dumb and being real delinquents, and they don't have the skill set to operate these vehicles, much less on a public road in an SUV. And the state trooper basically was able to, at this point, take over suit when it got out of county because they didn't have a vehicle to keep up with it. And the state trooper decided that the best possible scenario to do in this situation was do a pit maneuver on this SUV at 110 miles an hour. And, of course, the SUV, if you guys know pit maneuvers, where you clip the back end and basically make them go sideways, you're going to guarantee the vehicle is going to wreck, essentially, if done properly. The vehicle rolled multiple times, ended up in a pole. All occupants died. It took them an hour and a half to get them out of the car. It was this wadded up as the SUV. My condolences to the family. These kids are being unbelievably silly, running from the cops. However, did it need to end like this? You make your own decision on this. There's been a big fuss. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is there's been a big fuss down here in the state of Florida. So I talked to a state trooper a while back, and I kind of had a very blatant argument with him because he was almost bragging about this. The state of Florida back in January, DeSantis, allowed this Florida Highway Patrol to completely change the rules of engagement with high-speed pursuits in the state of Florida. There are no rules of engagement anymore. There are no restrictions and caps on mile-per-hour chases, period. The Florida Highway Patrol took their section. It was like a section. I forgot what the appendix was. I looked it up. It used to be like 18 pages long, which gave parameters and restrictions on using pit maneuvers, high-speed chases, and so forth. And it went from like 18 pages down to 4 pages. And essentially what this trooper told me is he said, what we pretty much have now is weapons-free. In that sense of the matter, that there are no restrictions on high-speed chases. We can chase them as fast as we want to go. We can use any means necessary to stop the vehicle. And I told him, I said, doesn't that seem a bit reckless on public highways? Wouldn't it be better to back off of them and follow them with a helicopter and wait for them to kind of calm down? I said, considering the fact that the traffic is so horrific now in the state of Florida, that you're doing a pit maneuver on an SUV at 120 miles an hour, you're guaranteeing the vehicle is going to have an enormously bad accident, not to mention if it hits any other vehicles or pedestrians on the road. Because contrary to popular belief, at 120 miles an hour, 110 miles an hour, when a vehicle goes into a wreck and starts rolling or spinning, it doesn't just stop. It has a very, very long accident field. And so I had kind of mixed thoughts about this because I was looking at this, and this is one of the first cases now we're seeing in Florida where Florida Highway Patrol has this unprecedented ability to start using any means necessary to stop vehicles, regardless of harm of the occupants or anybody else on the road. With these kids being unbelievably reckless and stealing a vehicle, yeah, I'm not negating the fact that these kids did this. Did they all deserve to die because of that? I don't think so. Not at all. That's just my opinion on it. And again, was it worth the risk, the potential harm and death to everyone else on the road? Again, this is a very, very strange quandary. And again, it goes back also to the aspect of what were these kids' upbringing as far as what was their background that made them think it was okay to go steal SUVs. Again, there's a lot of questions to ask here. I'm not telling my opinion on any of it. I'm just asking questions to it. And again, write me some comments, write me some emails, because I'm very curious, because you guys know I'm a huge proponent of law enforcement, but it's also have to have some checks and boundaries for certain things. And if I hadn't had that conversation with that trooper back in January, and essentially he was bragging to me that essentially they had open access, carte blanche immunity to do whatever they want at any point in time. He was bragging to me how in Tampa they had a crotch rocket, a street bike, it was like a Gixxer 1000, essentially take off from them. And they took it, it went like 160 mile an hour police chase on the interstate, okay? And they're chasing him, chasing him, chasing him, chasing him. And finally, they get up to him, and they end up wrecking him like 100 miles an hour. And apparently, he was in decent gear. He ended up not dying. I don't know how. That's very hard to wreck at that speed unless you're on a track and not die. And he was bragging me about how everybody needs to know that we're not going to tolerate anybody driving reckless, and we will wreck you if you're doing, you know, any type of evasive driving. I'm not condoning speeding. I'm not condoning aggressive or reckless driving at all. But again, at what degree do we start allowing law enforcement to use any means necessary on public highways and force people to essentially keep running at the extent of public health? Just thought I would throw that out there. You make your own decision on that. Not giving my opinion, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it as well. So write me something in the email, or you can hit me up on team_healthmasters. We're monitoring that all the time now. And again, I appreciate you guys getting that information out there, responding and commenting on a lot of the products. And again, if you got topics that you think are prevalent or certain things going on, be sure to, you know, hit us up on there and write us and write comments on it, review the products. I really appreciate the reviews. We get a lot of feedback on a lot of the products, especially the ones that are extremely popular, like the vitamin C, the magnesium brain food, the ultimate multiple powder. I got somebody write me the other day with that. They told me that essentially they got, once they started taking that, they wrote me an email the other day, and they said once they started taking that, they were shocked on how much energy they had every single morning just taking two scoops of the ultimate multiple powder. And I went, yeah, imagine that. That's what happens when you have, you know, basically the right proper B complex and right nutrients in your system every single day, first thing in the morning. Also, too, in other news, the Arizona GOP passes resolution declaring COVID-19 shots biological and technological weapons. This is crazy right here. This is a really cool standpoint. This happened down here in Florida with a lot of the Florida GOP. It went nowhere. However, this has gotten much more coverage. It says the Arizona Republican Party on Sunday overwhelmingly passed a resolution declaring the COVID-19 RNA injections to be listed as biological and technological weapons. They passed the resolution, banned the jab, with approximately 90% of the vote after submitted by Dan Schultz. The resolution calls for Governor Katie Hobbs to prohibit the sale and distribution of all RNA shots in the state and for the Attorney General to immediately seize all COVID injections and perform a forensic analysis on these so-called injections and vaccines, so to speak. And what's crazy about this, they're saying proponents of the resolution argue the vaccines have not undergone any sufficient long-term testing and their potential long-term effects are unknown. And essentially what they're calling out here, and I said this from the very beginning, Pfizer had these closed research studies that they did for 90 days. They then submitted this enormous trove of information that was heavily skewed in favor of the shot, showing that it was allegedly 95% effective. Then they came out and said, well, it doesn't stop you from catching it. It doesn't stop you from transmitting it. It just reduces your symptoms if you happen to catch COVID. And then they said it was only 80% effective, then it's 70% effective, then it's 50% effective. And essentially, this has never had any type of independent research studies done on these shots. None. Zero. The only research that's been done with these shots are done by the manufacturer that made hundreds of billions of dollars off of them and then was given immunity under the SAFE Act as far as with the in the Operation Warp Speed and the emergency use authorization that they couldn't be sued if the product maimed people and it killed people or it hurt people, but yet it got ramrodded through the FDA, of course, to roll it out on the general populace. And they said in here, one of the Republicans said they point to reports of adverse reactions and vaccine-related injuries as evidence of risk associated with vaccinations. Additionally, the resolution calls for forensic analysis independently of vaccine vials to determine their contents and potential impact on public health. This demand for further investigation underscores the deep-seated skepticism and mistrust surrounding COVID-19 vaccines with certain political circles. And what's crazy is this comes in addition to 10 Florida Republican county parties. This is what I was talking about, declaring that COVID-19 injections be listed as the same. These groups have also called on Governor Ron DeSantis to prohibit their distribution and the Florida Attorney General to confiscate the vials and conduct a forensic analysis. And so this is something that I really think is needs to be done. This should have been done a long time ago, and this needs to be actively done on a regular basis to make sure that people are getting out here and addressing these things and making sure that they have everything going on. So again, this is something that I think needs to be addressed immediately. Excuse me, I had to address that real quick. And it basically needs to be done immediately so people realize what's going on and understand that this stuff is not a joke, that these shots are serious, that these shots are causing people to be unbelievably sick, and they're making people unbelievably question what's happening. And so that's one of the things that I really think needs to be brought up on a regular basis. Also, too, in other news, this is something that's very interesting. The the aspect that we're starting to see here now with – and I'm going to bring this up very, very briefly. I'm not going to put a lot of information into it or a lot of time into it because I think a lot of this is being used as, again, as more theater to show more rioting and more violence and more protesting. Everybody's seeing now this consistent anti-Israel campus protest and people running around pro-Palestine, pro-Israel. This, again, is being done on another basis to make sure that people have this left-right paradigm. There's only two options you can pick. You're either a pro-Palestine protester or you're an anti-Israel lover, and you've got to make sure that Israel has a pass to do anything they want in any country they want at any point they want, or you're anti-Israel and you're pro-Palestine. I'll give you guys a real quick synopsis on it. I don't care about either one of the countries. I care about the United States of America, and I care about our borders, and I care about maintaining our overall health and freedom here. I care about maintaining our sovereignty. I care about bringing biblical principles back to the United States, especially in these school systems that are going on right now with this perversion that's happening. This is designed to put people in a box from a psychological warfare standpoint. You have to be on this side or you're on this side. There's no aspect of saying, well, why aren't we protesting the mass migration with over 2.5 million illegals just last year alone that came in the United States that we know of? Why are we not bringing up the fact that we've got individuals that are gang members from Venezuela and Honduras and Mexico that are coming to the United States causing all types of violent behavior, killing people, raping women, abducting people on a regular basis? This is not something that's going away. It's getting much, much worse, and everybody's just ignoring it and pretending like it doesn't happen. Why in the world is nobody protesting this? Well, again, you have it. It's the same thing we saw before. You had the Wall Street protest. You had the Antifa protest. You had the Black Lives Matter protest. If you haven't got the picture, they always have to have a group that constantly has a fight, that has an argument, that has to constantly come out and say, we're protesting this, we're protesting that. Let me put it on the mainstream media every single day. Let me keep everybody involved in it every single day. Make sure every single news outlet covers these protests. Newsflash, 90% of Americans couldn't even tell you where Israel or Palestine is on a map. They really wouldn't if it wasn't labeled. I tell you that right now. They don't care. Majority of Americans want America back, and they want to bring back truth, freedom, and justice. The reason why they do this is, again, keep people distracted, keep people in a left-right narrative, and keep people stuck so you cannot ask the question. You can't break out of the matrix. They want you to stay focused on one or the other. And this is, again, why I've told you guys to actually look at what's really happening and address the facts of what is really occurring, and don't fall prey to what the mainstream media, because I've said this before and I will say it again every single time. Anytime you have every single major media outlet verbatim saying the exact same thing over and over and over again, you are no longer listening to news. You are listening to pure propaganda, because they all have it geared to cover the exact same topic in the exact same format with the exact same leverage with the exact same thing you're supposed to do. So again, my friends, ask questions, get the narrative out there on a regular basis, and continue to really address this. Also, to another news right now, you see this other topic that's going on, where this Ozempic, and I've talked about this before. Now, Ozempic is not a fat loss drug injection. It is a weight loss drug that's essentially was originally a diabetic drug. We've talked about this on the show before, but I'm getting questions about this repeatedly. This drug can have severe side effects, and one thing that people are starting to see now is the fact that there's a prevalence of what they're calling now Ozempic face, where people are using this stuff to such degree, they're starting to get the really dark bags under their eyes. They're starting to have droopy skin. They're starting to lose all the fat in their face, and they're still not losing all the weight that they need to around their midsection or the overall goal, because this drug is an anti-diabetic drug, and now it's been used prevalently to lose weight. I've said this already, and I'm going to go on record on saying this again. If this is something you need to lose to try to get body fat under control and kickstart something, and this is something you want to use at your own discretion. Using this as a quick fat loss drug because you're too lazy to change your diet and you don't want to actually do some cardio and eat clean and you want to use a drug, that is a very bad precedent to start with. And every few years, you always see these weight loss drugs come on the market. And you get these people that want to try to lose weight. They don't want to do anything about it. They want to figure out how to sit on the couch, eat Doritos, and still lose fat. That doesn't work. Our bodies were not made to sit around and be completely stationary. Our bodies were designed to be active. We're designed to get up early in the morning. We're designed to be outside. We're designed to get cardiovascular exercise. We're designed to pick up things. That's how our bodies were made. They're not made to sit on the couch and watch television for 8 hours a day or sit behind a desk on a computer. And trust me, I get it. I'm on a computer all the time. I'm on the phone. But one thing I always tell people, especially like if you have a computer job or office job, always try to make it a point, however you can. I'm not trying to get people in trouble at work, but always try to get a point to get up at least once an hour if you can. Even if you're on the phone and you're in a cubicle, you're doing something, stand up and make a phone call if you can. get up and walk around, get circulation going, get blood flowing through your body. Our bodies were never designed to sit stationary for 6, 7, 8 hours every single day. They weren't. It causes tremendous harm to the cardiovascular system. Circulatory problems go through the roof. All types of issues with metabolism come forward. And you have all these problems that become lifelong problems if done long enough over the years. And then people go, well, I don't know how to lose weight. So now I'm going to take Ozempic, a diabetic drug that will help me lose weight. And again, like I said, if this is something you're trying to use to kickstart something because you're extremely overweight or obese, again, that's up to you and your doctor. I'm not giving you medical advice. But using this to try to burn body fat and cut down, there are a whole lot of other options. And that's one of the reasons why I've told people before. One of my buddies came over the other day that I work out with all the time. And he's funny. He's getting ready for a trip. And he's going on a trip over to like Cancun and stuff with his girlfriend, and he's been getting in shape and hitting the weights, and he's actually getting pretty lean. He's been doing really good. I'm proud of him. And he's been getting up and doing fasted cardio every morning. And so he's been going around this walk that we call have Lake Hollingsworth. It's like 2.7 miles, and he does fasted cardio, which I've told you guys before, one of the best, most effective things you can do right out the gate if you're trying to burn body fat is early morning fasted cardio right when you wake up. It not only gets your brain, your heart, your liver, everything booted up, you will massively burn body fat. If you really want to start burning body fat with that and maintain muscle, make sure you're drinking the Muscle Blast when you're doing the fasted cardio, and also throwing the ProCut Core and the thyroid support throughout the day to keep your body's metabolism kickstarted and running through the whole day and burning body fat. You'll be shocked. If you actually change your diet and add just a few of those few supplements along with fasted cardio, and the other day he took a ProCut Core that we have, and he took a purple stick before he did the fasted cardio, and he called me up. He's like, bro, I was zooming around Hollingsworth. And I said, yeah, he gets up really early and doesn't. I'm proud of him. He's really starting to get back in shape again. And this is something you can do if you want to make a priority out of it. You know, it's always ironic to me when people start talking about diet and health and nutrition, and they always talk about like, well, I don't have enough time to do that. I don't have enough time to exercise. I can't make time to go outside and do this or do that or do this. But then you talk to them and they talk about how they're basically on a Netflix bender again or watching some new show that just came out, and, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours a night and staying up half the night. Well, again, they're prioritizing that. If that's what they want to do, that's what they're going to do. If you want to prioritize something, make changes. If you know you need to move things around the best you possibly can and do what you need to do to get back in shape. Also, too, in other news, this is ironic as well. Another article here. And it's talking about what's happening now with these banks. And it's talking about how essentially the inflationary rate and the economic slowdown we're seeing is going to be more severe than the stagflation crisis of the 1970s. This is why I've told people so much. That's why the precious metals are going up so fast right now. And he said, it's not going to be benign this time. He said, what happened in the 70s is like a Sunday school picnic compared to what we're going through, because we're going to see much worse shape economically. I said the stagflation is much worse, and that's why he said gold is set to climb in price since the Federal Reserve is refusing to raise interest rates to the higher levels necessary to fight inflation. They said they basically froze the rates now. And what's interesting about this is the inflationary rate that we're seeing, where they come out and say it's 3%, 3.5%, that's a complete and total lie. They manipulate the basket of goods on a regular basis. I told you that. They just change things around to manipulate their numbers. They're saying, well, this is the inflationary rate, this is the inflationary rate. And what we've had at the same time with this, we've had corporate profits and net profits skyrocket, because of the excuse to raise prices on things that most individuals have to have and make enormous amounts of more money. The inflationary rate may be up 5, 6, 7, 8%, but if you look at the overall numbers, in most aspects, you'll see that it's much closer to 8 or 9%. But then the corporate profits are up 80, 90%, 40, 50, 60% in some cases. And what's interesting about this is I was looking at an article, and it was talking about how Publix – and let me pull it up here real quick. Let's see here. It was talking about – because I love Publix. I'm a huge fan of Publix. But this is interesting. It says Publix news release dated March 1st, 2024. Net earnings for the fiscal year ending December 2023 – were $4.3 billion for Publix. That was net earnings, not gross, net earnings, compared to $2.9 billion net earnings in 2022. That's an increase of 49% in net profit in one single year. That should shock you to your core, realizing that's not inflationary numbers. If they were talking about gross revenue, gross revenue is going to go up with inflation because the cost of goods are going up, meaning the overall cost of goods sold is going up. So overall gross sales are going to go up. This isn't gross sales. This is net earnings, net profit, meaning this is on the backside after the cost of goods are extracted out of the numbers, how much money Publix actually made in net profit. 49% increase in net profit in 1 year from 4.3 billion to 2.9 billion. 4.3 from 2.9. This shows you right here exactly what I was telling you when you're seeing eggs at $7, $8, $9 a dozen. The farmers, the chicken farmers and the beef and all these guys, I've talked to them before. They're not making much more money. Their cost has gone up. Their expenses have gone up, but they haven't raised their prices that much. But yet you go to the store and you realize, golly, everything's like doubled in price. Yes, McDonald's, I showed you the same numbers for the last couple of years. Their net profits have been going up exponentially. Same thing with all these other fast food companies. This is why I said before, if you want to stay stocked up on food, I encourage you to do so and try to work with some local farmers. Get a local cow if you want to grab beef. Split it with somebody. Buy local eggs if you can. Buy things that you know are going to be staples and go direct to the source. Save the money, get higher quality, and cut out these middlemen companies that are going in now and absolutely raping the American population. Because I was shocked that Publix is huge in Central Florida, and I go there a lot. But when I saw they had a 49% increase in net profits just last year alone over 2022, that made me realize that it has nothing to do with, oh, we've got inflation. Everything's going up 6, 7, 8%. No, a lot of these companies have used as an excuse to price gouge and never let their prices come down. This is why I've told you guys at Health Masters, my margins have actually gotten thinner. I've had a few price increases, very minimal, on some of my core products because my raw materials have gone through the roof because I've been fighting the same thing. I've got raw manufacturers that say, okay, we're raising the price on this. Then my manufacturers that's putting it together say, we're raising the cost on this, and then I have to eat the cost. The problem is I'm not making any more money. I'm making less money because my product cost may go up another $4 or $5. I only raise my price $2 or $3 because I want to make sure everybody has the ability to try to have access to high-quality supplements. A lot of these companies like this, they're not doing that. Their cost may go up $2 or $3 on a product. They're raising the price $6, $7, $8, $9 on certain products, and they're increasing it, increasing it, increasing it to see where the price ceiling and price resistance is going to be. The problem is when you have demand curves like food, people can't just not buy food. They've got to buy something. They have to eat. So you don't have an ability to say, well, I'm just going to pass on that or I'm not going to buy this. This is why I've always said before, you're really trying to save money, always buy your food like that at a store or get it from basically local farmers and make your own food at home. Going out to eat and buying fast food is one of the biggest wastes of money, especially fast food. Fast food, you're paying money to get poisoned by McDonald's. Grasp that concept for a second. You're taking your hard-earned money, you're giving it to a company that hates you and letting them poison you while you keep giving them your money. I mean, there was the thing the other day that was talking about it. It's out in California. I think a full, like, Big Mac or whatever it is, you know, Big Mac with a large drink and large fries and all that, it's hit like $20 now. $20! You're going to go to McDonald's and pay $20 to get poisoned for one meal? That baffles my mind. Yet people do it every day. Every single day, they do it. And so, again, there's a thing about this that we're seeing with, you know, aspects of life. And I've told this to everybody before. Jim Rohn used to talk about this. Is you've got to understand the positive and you've got to understand the negative. You can't just focus on either one all the time. You have to look at it from a split approach. You can say, okay, this is the negative that's going on. McDonald's is poisoning people. McDonald's is overpriced. McDonald's is crap. Okay, that's the negative. What's the positive? The positive is I don't have to eat there. I don't have to consume that food. I have a choice to do so. You've got to look at both narratives on it and understand it from both ways because I see a lot of times people will start giving that negative aspect where everything's negative, 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 negative. The glass is always half empty. Everything's half empty. Glass is going on down. It's half empty. Well, the glass is half empty, yes, but it's also half full. So you've got to look at both approaches. You've got to take the positive with the negative. And so that's the thing that I always try to encourage people when you're looking at a lot of this stuff. And a lot of this information that I bring out here is not the most happiest-go-lucky sometimes. Some of it's really good. Some of the health information is really good that I bring up on here. But I've got to bring in both sides of it and listen, say, this is what's going on. Here's what you can do. This is what's being put in the food supply. This is how to avoid it. These are the things that's going on in our economy and our ecosystem and things that are being exposed to. Here's a supplement you can take to maintain overall health. You've got to understand both sides in order to handle it and analyze it and address it properly. Also, too, this is another really positive article now here. If individuals would actually really get this information out there, they're saying now that vitamin C has a potential life-saving aspect for sepsis. Now, this has already been known, but it's now starting to get more mainstream as far as being addressed on it. They went on to say here, the standard intravenous antibiotic therapies often prove futile against sepsis complex. They went on to say here that sepsis claims more than 350 lives each year, making it the leading cause of death among U.S. hospital patients. They said standard intravenous antibiotic therapies are proving futile now. And one of the reasons why is because the doggone antibiotics that they're putting in the food supply and all these animals are getting people to become what's known as antibiotic resistant. So individuals are getting sick. They're so antibiotic resistant, they can't function. And they get these antibiotics, they're not working. And sepsis is killing them. It's very, very deadly. That's not a joke. And they're saying here that new hope may be found an unlikely alternative. Vitamin C. Imagine that, a natural approach. They said when the body fights an infection, the immune system mobilizes, sometimes however, persists in attacking the body, and sepsis is such a condition. Sepsis occurs unpredictably and can be aggressive, spinning the immune response out of control. In worst cases, vital organs shut down, leading to death. Sepsis is one of the most challenging conditions to treat, says Dr. Paul Merritt. Millions of people in the United States are affected, and it's present in 30% to 50% of hospitalizations that result in death. It said vitamin C was historically used to treat scurvy. However, in recent years, vitamin C has been established as various beneficial effects that has led to use in diseases such as cancer and sepsis. I talked about earlier this week. Patients with sepsis often have widespread inflammation and increased reactive oxygen species, or ROS, which can cause severe injury and organ failure. Vitamin C, being a powerful antioxidant, scavenges and disengages trouble-causing ROS and fights inflammation with a wide-ranging effect that benefits the fighting of sepsis. They said how most people's serum vitamin C levels exceed 50 micromoles per liter. However, doctors have noticed that vitamin C levels in patients battling sepsis is rapidly reduced, with levels in critical ill patients dropping below 11 micros per liter. Researchers hypothesize that this reflects the vitamin C is being used up as the body works to regain function. The same observation has been seen in patients battling cancer. And this is why I've said so many times before, if you're trying to get your body back in shape and trying to do stuff, vitamin C is a crucial nutrient. And you can microdose with it as far as like one capsule, two, three, four times a day throughout the day. That is the most effective approach from an oral standpoint. And here they're talking about with people with severe sepsis, they're doing intravenous vitamin IV, intravenous. They said a trial found about 14% mortality rate with high doses of vitamin C versus 64% without. Think about those numbers for a second. The mortality rate with vitamin C intravenous was only 14% with people with sepsis. When they didn't use vitamin C, it was 64%. That is an enormous change in the outcome as far as with death with vitamin C involved on it. And so it's, again, another reason why vitamin C helps suppress that inflammatory cascade and gets it under control. The biggest thing about it is you've got to start using it early on. I talk to people about this a lot of times when COVID was happening. They were asking me about natural supplements to maintain a healthy immune system. I said, I'm not giving you any medical advice. What I'm telling you is you need to have these supplements on hand. You can't wait until you're unbelievably sick 4 or 5 days into something and say, okay, by the way, now I'm going to start taking some supplements. It helps. There's no doubt about it. But you're not going to get the most beneficial effects you can get from it. Because this is what we've found, is that when you have the blood serum levels extremely elevated with vitamin C, before you start getting extremely sick, the body's inflammatory cascade, what they're just talking about here, massively calms down. So the body's able to fight things more productively and more efficiently without going into full-blown meltdown mode and completely going crazy. So again, another reason why I tell you guys, stay stocked up on it. Stay continually updated on your supplements, your vitamin D, your C, your zinc on a regular basis, and continue to maintain your overall health. Because again, this is something that's going to be occurring. There's going to be more stuff that's happening right now. I talked to a buddy of mine the other day, and they were asking me about what they thought with this whole election thing and Trump and the trial. And I haven't covered a lot of that because, quite frankly, a lot of it's obfuscation and theater. I told you guys before, regardless of what your stance is on Trump, they're using this as an excuse to try to wipe out the aspect of Make America Great Again. That's what the entire premise of it was, because a lot of the stuff that Trump did, I didn't care for it, bringing in the CFR members. bringing in all these guys that essentially had no business being in, no draining the swamp happened. However, what he talked about, his ideology, his concepts, make America great again, his vision for America was extremely brilliant, and it was extremely positive. And it really rallied a lot of people to start asking the question here, you know, do we have to keep going along with what we're doing right now? And the answer was no. We can start being more productive. We can start bringing America back again. And the problem with that is that was diametrically opposed to what the globalists want and the banker boys wanted. They did not want that rhetoric being talked about. They did not want people being positive about the United States. They want to annihilate what we know of the United States. And that's why it's so important to keep your body strong and keep the truth going strong on a regular basis every single day, because the more you can do that, the more effective you can be in maintaining your overall health. And that's why I brought that earlier, that article earlier about what you're seeing with the junk food and the rats and how it starts causing all these memory issues and the behavioral issues. Is anybody who starts to realize and start to think, you combine these shots that are loaded with, you know, aluminum and all types of other toxins at this early age now in the pediatric CDC shot schedule, you start adding in these shots, which aluminum's a neurotoxin, has been known as a neurotoxin. You add those shots in, you put these kids on these unbelievably horrific, you know, corn, high fructose corn syrup diets and cereal. Then you start basically indoctrinating them into this idiotic school system that we have now that just teaches them just bubblegum for the brain. They go through all this stuff, and then we wonder why when they're teenagers, they're running around acting like complete total morons now. They can't function in society. They start screaming at everybody all the time everywhere they go because they're protesting something in another country that they don't even know is happening, but yet they were told in the mainstream media that's the current thing. I joked about that so much, and we joked about it all the time. There were memes about it, and you saw the aspect with Ukraine and COVID, and I said, I support the current thing. It's the current thing the sheep are told to support. They support it. When you have a mindless population that has no ability to have critical thinking and concrete rational thought, and they're so dumbed down from the food and everything else they've been exposed to, they just do whatever they're told to do. Okay, listen, this is what the new current thing to support. Go on your campus and protest Palestine or protest Israel. Okay, let's go protest. What are we protesting? I don't know. We're told to protest it because it's the current thing to protest. That's why I brought it up earlier when I said it's funny to me that now the mainstream media is wanting to cover all these protests on campus about this left-right paradigm again. You have to be pro-Israel bombing everyone in Palestine, or you got to be pro-Palestine supporting that whole aspect. Why don't we have any protests that are supporting, you know, anti-illegal immigration? Why don't have any protests that are trying to stop child sex trafficking that is unbelievably prevalent now in the United States? It's become horrific, especially with this illegal immigration that's happening. Where are those protests? I haven't seen any at all. As far as people want to go on campus and protest and pitch a fit, why don't they do something that's actually productive? Why? Because a lot of these kids, not only are they being told what to protest, they're being encouraged, and in some cases, they're being paid. We saw this as far as with, during Antifa, where there's actually job listings in certain areas that we saw things happen with, where they actually were going in and they were saying, job listing, we need you to support this. They're paying these kids like $20-$25 an hour to show up to rallies to be with like Antifa protesters and BLM protesters. They were listing them all the time. It was on Craigslist. We talked about it in detail. And it was ironic to me because it's like we talked about, this is what they did as far as in the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. They brought in individuals to start protesting, start fighting, start rioting, and they were told that this is what you're going to protest, this is what you're going to do. They've done the same thing in Venezuela. They went into Venezuela, and I talked to one of my buddies who used to live down there. He lives in the United States now. He's got everything handled. And he told me, he said, when Chavez needed to have a protest, he said they'd bring people in from other countries, and they'd have their Chavez T-shirts, and they'd have their support flags, and they'd be protesting. He said a lot of them weren't even Venezuelan. Some of them were from Europe, some of them from Russia, some of them from Mexico. They were there to be paid protesters. They were there to support the current regime. This is not a new concept. This is something that's been done for thousands of years. When regimes need to maintain a functioning hold on a population, they have to maintain the narrative, and they can't get support, they buy the support. So always look at what you're actually supporting, what you're actually pushing, what you're actually talking about, because when you start having people tell you the same thing that you have to support. I told you guys before, if anybody believes a bunch of guys in the Middle East were able to come over the walls of the most secure country with the most advanced weaponry and anti-aircraft systems with the Iron Dome, and they were able to come over with paper hang gliders with lawnmowers on the back of them, and they were able to take down Israel, and they couldn't do anything about it, and they had no idea what was going to happen with the most advanced anti-aircraft system and anti-missile systems and platformed the entire world. By the way, thanks to Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, that we've given them all that. And you think they actually did this, then you probably believe a couple guys took down the trade towers with box cutters as well, if you actually believe that narrative. This is what is always being done. As they tell you something happened, this is the narrative they hold to, and they tell you cannot ask questions. This is why you have to be pro-Israel, pro-Palestine now. So again, I'm done with that rant on it. I just want to bring that up because I'm tired of getting emails. I'll be completely honest with you. Come to your own conclusion about it. You wanted my opinion? I'm giving you my opinion. It's theater designed to control the narrative and opposition and keep people stuck in a one-minded track to only support one thing and not ask questions. They did this with COVID so well. Remember, you're either pro-COVID lockdowns and pro-COVID mask and pro-COVID vaccines, or you're a grandma-killing neo-Nazi terrorist that loves COVID. Remember that? There were only two options. If you didn't support having dirt thrown in essentially the skate parks and 2x4s bolted to basketball court nets and, you know, surfers being arrested for being out in the ocean by themselves, if you didn't support all that, you're a neo-Nazi grandma killer. If you didn't wear three masks and walk down the aisles of the air, that was the best. That was my favorite part. When they put the arrows on the floors of the aisles in grocery stores, you're allowed to walk this way, you can't walk this way. Oh, by the way, you have to wear a mask while you're walking through the restaurant, but if you sit down, COVID can't get you. You can take your mask off. But when you stand up, you put your mask on. It was so much brain training, and it was almost embarrassing to me how many people went along with that. And I still remember this day. I went to a really nice restaurant that Lana and I went to. We'd gone to numerous times. We had reservations there. And this restaurant is super packed. It's not an open restaurant at all. It's super packed. And we got to the front where the stand is with the hostess. And we walk in and they go, oh, you need to wear masks to go be seated. And I said, dude, nobody in the restaurant's wearing masks. Oh, no, you have to wear a mask if you want to be seated. I said, nobody's in the restaurant wearing masks. I'm not wearing a mask. They said, oh, well, you can take it off when you sit down. I said, dude, there's 50 people in this restaurant. It's probably 1,500 square feet, 2,000 square feet. So I have to wear a mask to sit at my table 15 feet away from me, and then I can take it off? Well, yeah, that's the policy. And I said, my policy is I'm not going to eat here again. Have a nice day. Goodbye. And I left. And what was crazy about it is the fact that so many people would walk in, and I watched them do it. They literally walked in with their stupid little mask on their face. They walked to their table, and then they took it off. And they thought it was supposed to be some type of virtue signaling normality that people went along with, and that's the same people that we're dealing with right now that are running around telling you, you've got to support this, you've got to support that. So always ask questions to every aspect of what's happening, because once you start having groups tell you, you can't ask questions, you understand what their narrative is. I saw this earlier, the White House correspondent dinner with the bumbling buffoon Biden. The reason why I'm addressing this is because it's the same concept. And he essentially told the press in his gurgled speech, he barely talked, trying to read the teleprompter. He said, the most urgent question of our time is whether democracy is still the sacred cause of America. That is the question the American people must answer this year. The free press play a critical role in making sure American people have the information to make an informed decision. What he's basically, what they went on to say here is essentially he's telling the media that you have to support Biden to defend democracy. If you don't support Biden, you essentially are anti-America. This, again, goes back to a failed regime standpoint that's grasping for power. When you have one side say, you can't vote, you can't support, you can't talk about anything else, you're only allowed to support me. That's tyranny if anybody's ever even had a mild explanation of it whatsoever. And so, again, it's ironic to me. You see this happening, and yet you see so many people that are still running the narrative on it. So, again, my friends, thank you for getting the support out there on a regular basis. Thank you for getting your bodies strong, your mind strong, continuing to get the truth out there. I saw this article here earlier, and it was going into detail on essentially the Ukraine funding betrayal. And I thought to myself, you know, and it was. That whole thing last week was crazy. And now, apparently, the administration and my administration is trying to put forward this, like, executive order that Ukraine has to be supported for the next 10 years in a war, and that the next future president can't defund the program. I don't even – there's no legality or constitutionality to this. I don't know how they're possibly going to pull this off. But I thought to myself when I was reading it, I thought to myself, golly, tell me you're a money laundering, complete scheming piece of garbage without telling me that. You're sitting there saying that essentially we have to keep supporting a foreign country in a foreign war that has no involvement with us whatsoever so you can make sure you get your kickbacks and make sure you wave your little Ukrainian flags because, you know, that's the current thing to do on there. I just thought that was ironic on it. So, again, my friends, ask questions. Don't allow anybody to tell you what you have to think or have to do. Continue to get the truth out there on a regular basis. And if you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. Be sure also to vote for what you want to see win on Product of the Week later on tomorrow, actually, because it's being voted on. I saw earlier I was trying to keep up with it this week, and it looks like one of the main products that's winning, you've got the Corticare B5, B6, and the Zinc. They're actually neck and neck. They're one vote apart. So be sure to get on there and vote, whichever one you're interested in. The Corticare B5, B6, I've talked to you guys before. It's very effective for the immune system and also for lung health. B5, B6 is one of the key nutrients the alveoli needs as far as a B vitamin to maintain overall lung functioning. It is a crucial aspect of reducing asthma symptoms, period. Corticare B5, B6 is crucial to that. So if you have somebody that's in a cardiovascular sport, you have somebody that's been battling asthma or some health problem like that, Corticare B5, B6, I promise you, it's very effective. You can also throw in the magnesium, which is another really important one that goes in with it. Because remember, the lungs are the storehouse of the minerals of the body. The body stores a lot of the minerals in the lungs. This is why you see so many people that are heavy smokers. They always have constant issues with mineral depletion in their body. So it's crucial you keep those nutrients in your body and you stay strong and healthy in the zinc. Well, you guys know the zinc as far as what it does for the immune system, reproductive health, protein metabolism. That product's crucial. So vote for what you want to see win. And, of course, take advantage of the vitamin C on sale right now. It's product of the week, over 10% off. And grab the last couple boxes of purple sticks as I get these over to the office and we roll them out at healthmasters.com. So have a blessed, safe, awesome evening, my friends. Feel free to give us a call up at any time, 1-800-726-1834. Got a lot of stuff we're rolling out this week that we've been working on, especially with the new secondary website that we're going to be pushing out. It's going to be really cool. We have both options open for you guys. I know I've been talking about it for a minute, but I'm trying to make sure everything's functioning properly with it. So it's a positive, healthy, clean rollout. And also to be sure to follow us on team_healthmasters on Instagram. That's crucial. That gets the community expanding with Health Masters. And again, it also allows us to get reviews and comments on these products so other people can see the feedback on them. So have a blessed night, my friends. Appreciate y'all. And I'll talk to you on this show tomorrow as always.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.